If your morning starts with snap, crackle, pop, and it's not your cereal, call Joint Relief Institute for fast-lasting joint pain relief. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. 708-888-0000.
We've been marking the 60th anniversary of the Beatles invasion with Beatle features on the morning show this year. And with us this morning, the author of a fascinating new book, Living the Legend, The Untold Story of Mal Evans. And Kenneth Womack, I've got two questions right off the bat for you. Why is he a legend, and why has his story been largely untold?
Well, Mal Evans is a legend among Beatles fans, and has been really for decades. Even back in the day when they were touring the world, fans would recognize Mal. He was their road manager, bigger-than-life guy, and was an intricate part of what was really a very small circle. You know, they had Mal and Neil Aspinall and Brian Epstein, and that's about it as far as going out into the world. Mm-hmm. So it was a pretty small entourage, and Mal loomed very large inside of it and was very instrumental, played on many of their tracks, etc. Why now? Well, unfortunately, Mal was tragically killed by the L.A. police in January 1976, and his materials he had collected, being a fan himself, he had collected thousands of photographs, recordings, all sorts of written paraphernalia. He had written several manuscripts himself, and they were lost after that tragic incident, only to be found decades later, and here we are.
Yeah, by 1974, he wanted to make his name as a songwriter and record producer, so he went to Los Angeles. And as you mentioned, in 1976, and this is right when he was on the verge of sharing his memoirs with everybody, but he was killed. And this was this a case of some mistake that the LAPD made? What was the story about that?
Well, folks have liked to believe that for decades, but again, this is all in those in the materials, et cetera, and the police reports. It was staged by Mal. He wanted to exit the world. His worlds had collided. His wife, after all of the shenanigans Mal had been pulling over the years with the Beatles, had finally had enough. In fact, at that time, he was living with another woman in L.A. She told him she was going to meet a solicitor in London, and that sort of brought everything to a head. And on that terrible night, January 4th, 1976, he set the whole thing up and got his girlfriend to call the police. Mal had a rifle she had purchased for him. He was a big gun collector and Old West aficionado, and when the police came in, he pointed it at them, knowing that they would do what police do in those situations.
Wow. Let me play this little clip here, because I think for most Beatle fans, all they know about Mal Evans was he played, was it an anvil? Was that what it was on Maxwell's Silver Hammer?
The hammer and the anvil, right,
yeah.
At Twickenham in January 69.
Yeah, you see it on Let It Be and the Get Back documentary. This is what we're talking about. That's Mal making the hammer noise. He was part of many Beatles recording sessions, wasn't he, Ken?
He played on more than two dozen tracks, actually. And, you know, Mal was the guy you wanted to have around. There was no job that was too big or too small. If he wasn't protecting life and limb for them, he was, you know, the guy who was their fixer in a lot of ways. You know, if they needed somebody to play a note, Mal would do it, or as you just played, the hammer and the anvil. He was there for them. He was also the guy who kept them going all night long so that they could make these great albums. Mal knew whom to wake up in London if a string broke or a guitar went kaput, right? He was the guy.
Mm-hmm.
He knew where all the good meals were, where he could wake up people for the Beatles while they were making, say, Sgt. Pepper or the White Album or Abbey Road.
Yeah, everybody should have a Mal. And let's go back in time. So he was, as I understand it, a post office telephone engineer when he was in his 20s. He was a music nut. He really loved Elvis, and he became a fan of the Beatles in Liverpool. He saw him at the Cavern Club and was first introduced to Paul McCartney, wasn't he?
No, it actually started with George. Was the first Beatle he met, and George is the one who talked him into being a bouncer. He did become very quickly after that friends with Paul. You know, and he knew them all before their fame, right? So he was in this really unusual space where he knew them as real people, as did Neil Aspinall. And those were, you know, incredible days for him. He didn't need the money, but he liked, you know, loved the extra money of working at the Tavern and being able to be near all the groups because, of course, the Mersey Beat sound was big in those days. Mal had a full-time, wonderful, steady job that had a pension and all sorts of future attached to it. He had a mortgage and a car. He was really sitting pretty when he met these guys. His father would later say, you know, it all went bad once he met those four lads.
Yeah, I love the quote from George, who told him early on, Mal, you're big and you're ugly, so why don't you just get a job as a bouncer? You could get paid and meet the bands. But the common denominator and really the way in for Mal with the Beatles was his love of Elvis. Didn't they bond over that at first?
Oh, they sure did. And Mal was one of the early subscribers to the British Elvis newsletter. And so they would all pass it around and learn more about him. Because, you know, in those days, it was pretty tough to get information about the bands that you loved, right? All the music magazines really hadn't come into vogue quite yet, or certainly not in the ways they would be after, say, the Beatles. You know, that was big stuff, and they used to share that love of Elvis with Mal. They would play Elvis songs and dedicate them to him, that sort of thing.
And you see Mal at work on that famous rooftop concert, don't you?
You sure do, and that was a big day for Mal. In fact, a lot of unknown stories happened around those times, including the fact that Mal had spent a lot of time making sure that the roof was reinforced. You know, it was quite dangerous up there, not just because of winter whipping wind, but also because of the simple fact that it was just an old tar roof. But yeah, he was up there on the roof, and he was briefly arrested by the coppers. They had gotten sick of his shenanigans. He was playing a lot of games with them that day. He would fool around with them and say, well, you know, I'll be able to let you up in a minute. And then he'd go off and have a smoke, you know. So,
yeah.
So
yeah.
He kind of played around with them. And they finally figured in this, they finally said, you know, take us up right now. And so Mal did. And on the way up the stairs, they said, by the way, you're under arrest.
Yeah. When you see that rooftop concert, the tall guy with the light colored hair talking to the British, the Bobbies, that's Mal Evans. I love the fact that Peter Jackson, when he restored the Let It Be film and during the Get Back documentary, the software, whatever he invented to kind of digitize and restore audio, he called that machine Mal, M-A-L, after Mal Evans, and also with a nod,
that's
I guess,
right.
I guess to Hal. And when they asked Mal Evans, who's your favorite Beatle, he would always say, the last one I was with. So he loved them, they loved him, and I'm telling you, this is some book, Living the Legend, the Untold Story of Mal Evans. For the first time, you get all sorts of archival material, and like one of the reviews said about your book, Kenneth, just when you think you know everything about the Beatles, along comes Living the Beatles Legend, the Untold Story of Mal Evans. It's Kenneth Womack. Congratulations on a great book, Ken. Thanks for talking to us today.
Thanks so much. For everybody out there in Chicagoland, have a good one.
You too.